God bless you. Now we are going to see what the Lord will give us. He has given us promises. He has manifested those things through the ministry of Brother Branham, this Elijah. And now we are always deeper and deeper in the Word. Now we read the compilation of Brother Frank about the obedience, authority, submission, which are extra excerpts, a circular letter of Brother Ewald Frank since 66. So we are reading now March 1967. During the Reformation, the emphasis was on what God the Lord had newly brought to light. No one can forget the part taken by Martin Luther in this matter, because he was the instrument of God chosen for that time. Then came the days of Wesley with a deeper and more energetic revival in which sanctification was preached, as before justification. He who was of God took a step forward, but he who stuck with the organization formed after the Reformation stayed spiritually behind. After Wesley, Great Awakening, an organization was formed again, but God continued his work. At the turn of the century, the Spirit of God all again manifested itself in powerful ways. There was a movement that we know as a Pentecostal movement. And we know now that we have several orientations, several faiths, and they are stuck, they are blocked now. And when we speak about the end time, when we speak about Malachi 4, 5, we see that they do not agree. Organization do not agree with the prophets, of course. It's what we have also now. So I go on reading. So it was named so because at the first Pentecost, the gifts of the Holy Spirit appeared there. For a long time, the Spirit of God works during a long period. The Spirit of God works everywhere on the earth. But after this blessing, there were also men who did not understand that the work of God cannot be subject to human direction. So, reformed, new organization was formed. What was to be believed and taught was fixed. In doing so, we came to a stagnation of the movement because we put limits on the work of God. The history of the church proves that an organization cannot experience a revival nor maintain it. Each revival has come independently of an organization. And we know that Elijah would come and put everything in order and restore the church. And this thing is not yet understood, even not now. So even Brother Branham, you know that you have read it, surely. Brother Branham came from the Baptist church, but God made him go out like Paul, like Moses, like other example of the scriptures. Go out of the scripture and have a new departure in the good direction that God showed. So we must go out of organization, go out of what man organizes. We can read in Genesis. We can see how God begins something. God has never given his glory to men, and this is the basis, because he will never give his glory to men, and he came himself in flesh. Let's read Genesis 12. You can read Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So it means that God speaks to a man, and particularly, and makes him go out from where he is, from his position that he is. He makes him go out, and we can say isolate him. He isolates him so that he can work directly with this man. It was like this. Also, 17. Genesis 17. Always with Abraham. And when Abraham was, so Genesis 17, and when Abraham was 90 years old, and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make that my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. You see that God is not an organization, but a living organism, not an organization. You see the difference, a huge difference. Let's read also with Moses in Exodus. I take two types of the scriptures so that you understand better. So Exodus 2:14. Exodus 2:14. When Moses visited the camp of the Hebrew. And he did something, maybe that for the Hebrew, it was not good, it was not righteous. So, for them. So, Exodus 2:4, let's see. Let's begin the 12th verse, Exodus 2:12. And he looked this way, and so he was afraid because it's written at the verse that the man said at the verse 13. 14, and he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? You see, it was feared, and Moses was feared. And he said, surely this thing is known. Now we go in Exodus, another verse. We see that God chooses himself. We have seen with Brother Branham, with Brother Frank, we have seen that several servants of God are chosen. They have no strength, even Daniel. So we see that it's not that they say, we go. No. They are weak, they are fragile, they feel not able. And so we see that it was necessary to be humble. And sometimes we see that humility is missing. And we see David in 1 Samuel, you can see also the story of David. 1 Samuel 17:38, and also other examples. It is to say that the work of God cannot be subject to the human direction, to the human leading. It's hard, it's glorious. So when we see this, when we see this, and when we understand it with the heart, so we have the desire, this inward power, strength to say, Lord, you work, you sustain me, you help me. If not, we will do things, bad things. So we go on reading the compilation of Brother Frank. So it's written, each revival has come independently of an organization. Now we have the fifth part in April 67. You know, it was even before God called me in 72. You see how many things were written before me. So it was a blessing to the people of God. So Brother Frank writes, the Lord Jesus brought the truth. The word is truth. Yes, himself is the truth. Paul, the great apostle of the Lord, has seen his spirit lately, this the last time, a spirit, and speaks of it in several places, like, for example, 2 Timothy 3:1-9. He says that in the last days there will be bad times, that men will be vain, proud, slanderous, malicious, presumptuous, loving pleasure more than God. Loving pleasure more than the love of God. They will keep the appearance of piety, but will deny that which makes it strong. So they will keep the appearance external. And we see this failings in our time. We have enough assemblies which keep the appearance of godliness, which even claim to be the assembly of a living God, whose origin dates back to Pentecost, and which, despite this, deny the power of God, which has manifested itself so, which he has manifested itself so abundantly in our time. So there are people who do not walk in their time, in the right time. But the hour has come when God's people can no longer be content with this appearance, outward appearance. Rather, he is driven in a yearning, a thirst, a yearning for the revelations of the living God, for Jesus Christ. Who can do it? Only the elect. Only those who were called for eternity. And in the heart, in your heart, you see the correction. And we put in action the correction that we have to do. And day by day, we grow. We become a holy temple to serve him and honor and give honor to God. So I go. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul goes further in the mentioned text and says of these people that they are willing to learn but never arrive at the real knowledge of the truth. So they have maybe a desire, but they have something in them that does not function. Like something that, let's read 2 Timothy. Two Timothy 3:4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive city women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. So we speak about churches. We speak about churches, organizations, persons, religions. We speak about religions. They are churches in reality. The ever-learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. The word is the truth. Amen. So they will never reach the depth of the truth and to be abandoned, because there is always something that prevents them to doing it. They never stop. They have not a solid basis. So I go and read. I read Brother Frank here. He continues, just as Jannes and Jambres rose up against Moses, so these people stand up against the truth. Here we can only exclaim, this word has been fulfilled before our eyes. For after God himself, be careful, hallelujah, by the revelation of the seven seals, revealed the mysteries of God, the truth of the word was placed on the candlestick. These men have only one task to accomplish, to criticize the truth revealed by his spirit in his word. You see the spirit of Jannes and Jambres? You need the spirit? There's always something to criticize. They have always something, and they will never have rest. This is human. Human who wants to do this. Human, the human mind wants to do that. Hallelujah. When God created from the dust, he created flies, you know, they say, this is the hands of God. So they stopped there. So these people have only one task to accomplish, to criticize the truth revealed by his spirit in his word. The Holy Spirit knew it in advance. That's why it was written in the Bible. You see this foreknowledge of God, glorious. Everything was written in each time. In each time, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. 2 Timothy 3, but never like today this word was revealed like it is today. We are really in a good time. In the past time we didn't know. Now we go deeper and deeper in the revelation, and we are reaching the end of the time. That's why God today is the same yesterday, today and forever. So I go on reading. Brother Frank here, he wrote, we remember that God has revealed in advance to his prophet where and how he would speak, and that already in December 1962, Brother Branham drew in the board in the assembly of Jeffersonville a drawing of a cloud. From which the Lord had to talk to him. A cloud. He drew a cloud. A drawing of a cloud. On the appointed day, he took two brothers with him, who were eyewitness. They were witness with their eyes of that mighty cloud in which the seven angels appeared and of which the Lord spoke to him. Matthew 17, 5. If we take Matthew 17, 5. The Mount of the Transfiguration. The scriptures says that a testimony is done on two or three witnesses. So Brother Branham took two witnesses. Jesus took three witnesses. James, John, and James. And we see that this cloud came, overshadowed them. So verse 5, Matthew 17, 5, on the Transfiguration Mount. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son." So there was the law and justice. In Malachi 4, first Malachi 3, and that Malachi 4, 5. So I read here in December. So we must know, I must remind this. So everybody saw this cloud in the cloud, this mighty cloud in the sky. So the word has been confirmed by a prophet. Hallelujah. God promised it. So we go in reading. We remember that God has revealed in advance to his prophets where and how he could speak. And that already in December 62, Brother Branham drew in the Assembly of Jacksonville a cloud from which God talked to him. But just as Jannes and Jambres did not believe that God sent Moses to the people as a prophet, so many preachers do not believe that God sent Brother Branham to his people as a prophet of these last days. Also, today, the organized people, the people who are organized, do not want to accept Brother Branham. Yes, even they ridicule him and speak out against him and the truth, as these men did against Moses. The fact that Moses is spoken of in connection with the time of the end should prompt us to ponder, to reflect, that Moses, God spoke to Moses out of the middle of the pillar of fire. Great respect should come to everyone when they learned of the manifestation of God. In 1933, while Brother Branham was baptizing, God said to him, look up. And Brother Branham looked up, and from the sky, from the cloud, God spoke to him. And the same thing with the seven seals. So we see how God guides perfectly each thing in relation with all scriptures. That's why nothing depends from a man, but from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Great respect should have seized everyone when they learn of the manifestation of God. We were not there, but why do we believe? Why do we believe? Because we lack intellectual things? No. We believe because God has given it to us. Yes, open our eyes on the scriptures, because there is an election. Only the elect can see it. Hallelujah. Otherwise, it would be difficult. That's why a lot of people get back. There are marvelous things here. I go on. From the same pillar of fire, the same God spoke to his prophet William Branham, his voice coming out of the pillar of fire. All of that in this generation. So we see scripture being fulfilled in that men rise up against God's plan. Men who have the appearance of godliness but deny the power of God. They are speaking out against the truth. And as Jannes and Jambres did wonders and miracles, so it is possible that today men do wonders and miracles and nevertheless rise up against the truth. Even the Catholic Church, you see wonders everywhere. So we must not put our eyes on those things and to say, oh, we are sure, we are certain that this is God. No, 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 it's not like this. So nevertheless, those people rise up against the truth. Paul calls the wonders of those who are not in the truth miracles and wonders of lies, of lying. The wonders of lying. They are wonders, but of lying. No truth in it. Hallelujah. They want, by this means, to pretend that God approves of what they teach. You see, nowadays also, maybe via miracles, maybe through things that they can do. It's possible, of course, no problem. It's possible, but it's written. But it's also written in Matthew. Look in Matthew. You will recognize them by their fruit. It's not everybody who say, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of God, but those who do God's will. A lot of people will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done wonders in your name? And Jesus will reply, I do not know you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. You understand why it's important? Because we see that it is really the word of God cannot fail. What God says cannot fail. So that's why Brother Frank writes here that they pretend, they believe that they are in the truth. Because they have miracles, because they have wonders, but we see that all the rest, they are far from the plan of God. They are far from the plan of God. It's very serious. I go on reading Brother Frank here. So they want by this means to claim or to pretend that God approves of what they believe and teach. We ask, those who speak of discernment, because some people say discernment, frankly, we ask those who speak of discernment, between brackets, frankly, those, for them, it is that they declare that everything that others teach, that the others teach is false. How is it that they do not even have enough of the Spirit of God to recognize that the work that God has done is absolutely biblical, and that the preaching must be based on the whole testimony of the scriptures. And this is where the mask falls. Envy, jealousy, and all kinds of slander through them. This precisely demonstrates the spirit that drives them. Alas, how great is the own self, I, which hides behind works of the piety. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Very important, the kind of spirits be continuous in the right direction where God wants to go. 119 Psalm. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Amen. Also Isaiah. Isaiah 8:20. So let's begin with verse 19, Isaiah 8. Read it especially. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not the people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So the verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You understand? That's why Brother Frank said, oh, the word of God, even now in the message of the hour, even now, they speak one or two or three verses, one or two quotations, and they put aside all the teachings. Look, you have never read that, you have never read this in the 60s, you have not listened to this, but now in these days, you see special things. You see that since the beginning, God has made us enter in the right teaching, fundamental teaching, righteous teaching. Nothing outside. That's why we have to be careful, because only one verse, only one quotation, only one miracle, it is not a confirmation that we walk in God's way. God must help His church so that everybody understands that is the whole word, which is truth, and we must take it for ourselves. Also in 1 Samuel, you know, and also another verse, but this is enough. We can see 1 Samuel 15, and we also refer to it because we know what happened there. In 1 Samuel 15, you know what happened with Saul. 1 Samuel 15. and you see how a person take a little bit of the things that he has understood, but he let the rest of the things, and he believe, because he have a small part of truth, he believe that he have everything. So let us read 1 Samuel 15:30. 1 Samuel 15:30. When Saul, it is disobeyed. That's why we say that obedience, remember, we are speaking about the theme of the authority, the obedience. So, 30. Saul said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. You understand? It's serious. It shows that he was not with the whole plan of God. You understand? He took a part. He was not in the full obedience. He took something that he liked, because he wanted to be seen, to be honored, to be a king, as we have just read. They hide behind works of piety, of religions. And then also 2 Peter. There are several quotations, but these are those that I have in my heart, that God put in my heart. And you yourself, you can also drink to this living water. 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. The devil has no rights on you, on the Church of Jesus Christ. No rights. Only what if I give him. But he has no power. Because God in Jesus Christ, the blood of Golgotha, is death and resurrection, has set us free totally from the bondage of Satan. Amen. Amen. This must be sealed in our heart. That's why Jesus said, the one who persevere, go on, persevere in my word, is my disciple. And the word itself, when you are a disciple, the word itself will set you free. God has set us free from the bondage of Satan and from the organizations, from the spirit of the organization, of the religions of organization. So I go on reading, Brother Frank here. So they want by this means to claim that God approves of what they believe and teach. We ask those who speak of discernment, frankly, how is it that they do not even have enough of the Spirit of God to recognize that the work that of God, that work that God has done, is absolutely biblical, and that the preaching must be based on the whole testimony of the Scriptures. And this is where the mask falls: envy, jealousy, and all kinds of slander through them. This precisely demonstrates the spirit that drives them. Alas, how great is my own self! I want, which hides behind works of piety. You see, the works of piety, the religious works today, the religious people, these works of piety. But the people of God continue their journey without letting themselves be diverted. God gave this message to keep God's people safe from conflicts reaching Babylon. The conflicts of Babylon. Only things that belongs to Babylon. The word, the confusion. God has separated from those things. And it is written, what is between Christ and Belial? Of the finger of God and the finger of the devil. So it is important that we understand, that our heart understand, that we are far from this Babylonian spirit. And God had mercy on us. He has revealed His word, and now we walk on this word. Since God has given this message, then it is high time that we obey this call. We see that all the denominations have kept certain particularities of the Roman Church. Not only denominations. So, as a result, as a consequence, the new door, you know, the door was penetrated with the leaven that they brought with them. This door was penetrated with the leaven that they have brought with them. You know, when God spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to David, all the people. It is a new beginning, a new life. That's why all things are past and everything is new. 2 Corinthians 5. New birth. All things are past. And then the Lord can bless this new word and make it grow. Hallelujah. May God grant us the grace to recognize the time and hour in which we live. May He grant us to separate ourselves from all that is not of Him. So let us be grateful to God with all our hearts that He has sent His prophet with His word, the eternal gospel. That's why the teachings are deep. And God gives those teachings. Why? To do what? To prepare our heart to a total purification, a total sanctification, so that we can serve God in spirit and truth, far from Babylon, far from the past things, far from the denomination, the churches. All the ages, Luther, Wesley, Azusa Street, but now it's finished. We must be far from those things. Now we arrive at the seventh follow-up, the seventh suite, in July, August 1967. I read the excerpt. Next. I've read Frank. We live in a time when everyone claims to preach according to the Bible. Every preacher, every religious movement is convinced that it is correctly interpreting the Word of God. However, this hypothesis is only justified when, after a deep examination in the light of the Holy Scriptures, it is proved that no deviation from the Word of God has occurred. It is particularly useful to consider this saying of 2 Peter 1:20. You know this? All the scriptures, as we read in Psalm 119, all your word is truth. So, I repeat, it is particularly useful to consider this saying of 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing first of all yourselves, that no prophecy of Scripture can be an object of particular interpretation. For it is not by a man's will that a prophecy was never brought, but it was moved by the Holy Spirit that men spoke from God. Amen. In the past, many claimed the right to interpret the contents of the Holy Scriptures. They wanted to interpret the contents of the Holy Scriptures. But none had received permission from God. For when God Himself does what He has expressed before, all human interpretation becomes superfluous. Amen. There's no need of interpretation. The scribes did not recognize the Lord at His first coming and did not discern the fulfillment of the scriptures before their eyes, for the simple reason that they believed more in their own interpretation of the Word of God. Today is the same, Brother Frank writes. Today is the same. They prefer believing in their interpretation than the Word. May God help us and have mercy on us to have a humble heart and to recognize that all the truth is the whole Word. Yet, as in ancient times, the Lord sent a prophet who was neither trained in a Bible school nor in a theological institute, but who was called as such from the cradle. Brother Branham says he had visions when he was 2 and 3 years old. 2 or 3 years old. He was aware all his life of the call of God and of his responsibility towards the people of God. So write down this verse. I tell it to you. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives, and he wept on the city, because they had not recognized the day of their visitation. Now, it's not because we have the message that we have all. We have received a message where we are happy. No, we must recognize the time in which we live. Because if I do not live the Word, if I do not put in act, God will not send another message. There is not another message, another messenger. Hallelujah. It's important that God has mercy on us and give us the inward strength so that each one of us can be separated from Babylon. Everything that can remain in us from Babylon, we must obey the word of God. So I go on reading. So he was aware all his life of the call of God and of his responsibility toward the people of God. The larger the ministry, the greater the responsibility attached to it. I wanted to speak about election. So, before the foundation of the world, God knew his servants, but also for each one of us. Let's read a little bit. Jeremiah 1. So I make a link with Brother Frank's writing here, that even when he was a young boy, he had already visions. Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You see the gift, the ministry, the calling. The man go back, he goes back. But when there is the push of the Holy Spirit, he will go. It's important to understand this. So we have this testimony also in Luke. Luke 1. Sorry, it's not this verse. I made a mistake. It's not in this Luke 1. Yes. Let's take this one. Luke 1:13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He was also in Galatians. Galatians. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, whose Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. So he speaks here of the foreknowledge of God. He knew that God called him before the creation of the world, you and I also. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me in this grace to reveal his Son to me, his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. We all know Paul's conversion with the pillar of fire. Who are you, Lord? We know this. So he understood predestination. And also in Ephesians, to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the plan of redemption. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We are in heavenly places. And also Ephesians 2:6, he hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. You don't feel like saying, thank you, God. We are not worthy. We are not worthy to receive this. And it pleased God to have mercy on us before the foundation of the world. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. He took us like sons and daughters. Look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. We can thank the Lord because the Lord has opened our mind. Hallelujah. It's the truth, my friends. Amen. God bless our hearts. So I got reading Brother Frank here. So we said that Brother Branham says he had visions when he was 2 or 3 years old. He was aware all his life of the call of God and of his responsibility toward the people of God. The larger the ministry, the greater the responsibility attached to it. Responding to the question of the listeners, he said, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Here we are at the beginnings of the church that Jesus acquired by his blood shed on the cross of Golgotha. On this occasion, Peter gives the first teaching valid henceforth in the church of the Lord until the day when faith will be replaced by sight. Because according to the word of God, the Lord had given to Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That is, he had received the full authority in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to impart to the church the provisions of God. So we see here that some people of God were called to preach the word of God. Amen. So Peter, he received the keys. That is, he had received full authority in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to impart to the church the provisions of God. Peter understood his Lord and Master very well about baptism. He knew that it was not a question of three characteristics or titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but rather of the name which is above all names. Amen. God put it in Acts, above all in this last time. May God grant us the grace of receiving through the Holy Spirit the revelation which the apostles received. It is written that all things are to be established on the testimony of two or three persons. And that is why we want to briefly mention a few more passages dealing with biblical baptism. Acts 8:16. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:5. With those words, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. These two biblical passages, added to that of Acts 2:38, should be enough for us, although others could be added about the baptism celebrated or fulfilled according to the Word of God. So this was written before your birth for a lot of you in the year 70s. You see, you were, for some of us, we were a child in the year 60. So I would like to read circular letter, March 1972, and we will stop with this letter. I cordially greet all the readers of this letter by the word of Zechariah 8:9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, strengthen your hands, you who hear this day these words from the mouth of the prophets who appeared in the days when they were founded, the house of the Lord of hosts, where the temple was to be built. I say it in the name of the Lord. We can speak until tomorrow. But now I read here, Brother Frank, I go on. At the time when the people of Israel returned from the exile of Babylon, the Lord had among them his servants and prophets. They made known to those who had returned the promises intended for the time in which they lived. Here we have a prophetic indication for our time. For we too have come out of the captivity of organizations, and we can rejoice in the wonderful freedom of the children of God. Hallelujah. It's glorious. You know Amos 3:7. God does nothing before revealing to his servant the prophets. Hallelujah. So, I repeat here, we have a prophetic indication for our time. For we too have come out of the captivity of organization, and we can rejoice in the wonderful freedom of the children of God. Now none of them, no one reigns over the other, but the Lord God reigns over us all. Through the proclamation of the divine promises of the prophetic word, the true children of God have found new courage. Amen. I would like to make a revival in you. when you were young, when before being a believer, you were not happy with the system, you were not happy with your life. I was not happy. But before, I remember I thought to have everything, I thought I had everything, that everything was good. But the children of God have found a new courage. I had received the message and the new hope came. Something sincere, which was not in the Catholic Church, neither in the other denominations. I could see the true love of God, the true communion among the brothers, something that did not exist before. That's why when we read this circular letters, there is a kind of revival. It's true that the first love has been lost. Some brothers said that it seems that something has cooled down, but we hope and we pray that God will reestablish the first love. Hallelujah. Because it's important. That's why in Judge, first I want to read here. So no one reigns over the other, but the Lord reigns over us all through the proclamation of the divine promises of the prophetic word. The true children of God have found new courage. We can read Judges chapter 10. When we can also see in Exodus when their enemies were drawn in the water, in the sea, they rejoiced and they danced. It was a jubilee for them. They have thanked God. They have worshipped God. It's true that afterwards, in the desert, they were against Moses and against God. But at that moment there, they were happy and they were in the joy. May this blessing remain. It's written, you have served other God. I have saved you, but you went to other gods. Let's take another scripture. I have noted here in my notes. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Brother Frank said, nobody reigns on nobody. God reigns. Luke 1, 74. Let's take Luke 1, 74. Luke 1, 74. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. I repeat 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, correct? Amen. So we can understand this thought. Brother Frank writes here, this liberty of a true son and daughter of God. And they are out of the bondage and they rejoice. It's true that we still have afflictions, difficult moments, but God will also help to overgo on those things. Have faith in God, say the Lord. Not Franco, faith in the Lord. May God bless our heart and strengthen them. And the power of God, distracting all the works of Satan. I finish here, Brother Frank. It is said of our Lord Jesus, for he taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes, Mark 1:22. He taught with divine authority. The same divine authority is found in the teaching of the apostles and prophets. In Acts 13, we see the power of God manifested with Paul by the authority of the Spirit. It is said in verse 12, then the proconsul, seeing what had happened, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You see, some people can believe through intelligence, with the brain, other through the spirit. You understand the difference? How many speak via intelligence? And how many speaks through the Holy Spirit? May God help us to have our position before God. So that when we will present before God, when there is a problem or a certain situation, we can pronounce the word through the Holy Spirit, not intellectual intelligence, but by faith. It's totally different. Like John 6, 63. What is flesh? Is flesh. What is spirit? Is spirit. My words are spirit and life. You remember 70 went away and 12 remained. Those who were called since the beginning. To whom can we go? You only, we have recognized that you are the Son of living God, you have the life of the words of the eternal life. You see what they had in their heart. You see these apostles, you see the election of God. I go on reading and I finish it. We live in a time when not only Do we have a fundamental stone? The foundation of the house of God is placed, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, but also the capstone, the stone of the top, is going to be laid. It is already there, that will be manifested whether or not we have built on the foundation laid at the beginning of Christianity. Now, when God called us, if we have this basis, this foundation before God, if we had this, the Word of God, if it is our foundation, it will be manifested. Whoever wants his work to stand the test of fire, he lets himself be advised and built in accordance with the precious Word of God, which has been truly purified. Whoever submits to the test of the fire of the Holy Spirit and remains, his faith will be found more precious than perishable gold, which, however, is tested by fire. 1 Peter 1:7. It is. We must know if it is in our heart. Those like Brother Frank writes, they let themselves advised. So 1 Peter 1:7. Whoever submits to the test of the fire of the Holy Spirit and remains, his faith will be found more precious than perishable gold, which, however, is tested by fire. This is in 1 Peter 1:7. Let's read Ephesians. If it is God who called you and put the foundation, so I let myself be taught by the Holy Spirit. Let's go in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth and to a holy temple in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. From the 9th verse, 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of that sort it is, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we come back to what Brother Frank has written. I reread here. Brother Frank has written, it is already there, that will be manifested whether or not we have built on the foundation laid at the beginning of the Christianity. Whoever wants his work to stand the test of fire, he lets himself be advised and builds in accordance with the precious word of God, which has been truly purified. Whoever submits to the test of the fire of the Holy Spirit and remains, his faith will be found more precious than perishable gold, which, however, is tested by fire. 1 Peter 1:7. We take the story of Daniel. Let's take Daniel. Daniel 3. We speak about the fire, verse 22. The fiery furnace at the 20th verse. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. So we think of our difficulty to remain in the face of the Son of God, to remain in the promise of God. We think of a lot of things. We speak about the Son, which is also who will be 7 times more hotter. We see here that this fire, this is verse 19, that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was. And the 22, therefore, because the king's commandant was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Why? Why I read this? Because we are living the same. We are in the furnace and we have to resist. Sometimes our own family do not understand us. The religious people do not understand us. The politics do not understand us. Even among the people of the message, they do not understand us. We must say the truth. There are some people who interpretation. Each one has his own way. Always interpretation. You see? So it is like this, the fiery furnace. And the verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Have faith in God. Everything is possible. The Lord will help us. There will be a time when the rain will come down. It's true. And the people who do not believe now, who have not bowed their knee before God, it's written that each knee, everybody will kneel before the Son of God, the God of Israel, the creator of the heaven and earth. They will have to recognize that we are in the truth. Amen. You understand? May God help us. God will confirm. God will confirm, not man. Hallelujah. May God have mercy on us. And one last verse. 1 Peter 2, 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. First, 1 Peter 1, 7. That's the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I repeat, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here is the preparation. The word, what we read here, the preachings, the sermons, everything are preparing us for the rapture of the bride. It's true. Amen. I believe with all my heart. And also, chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. We must not forget this new birth. A new birth. What I wanted to say at the beginning. A true, when you are freed by a supernatural, I say, by a supernatural action of the Holy Spirit, a direct experience with God, even if you don't see it, it is in Genesis. With Jacob who fought against with the angel of the Lord. He was in difficulty. He had to fight against his brother. He had to meet a reality he didn't know how to do. And God intervened. You see? this is now when it's written born again. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Be careful, because your intelligence can make you go far from the divine reality. Because the word of God is a reality. God is a reality. Faith is a reality. God bless us. And we conclude now. Verse 3, 1 Peter 2, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. This is a divine reality. God bless us. I stop here. Now, people have to go to work. God has mercy. God has spoken to us through the word of God. God has spoken to us. Hallelujah. Let's keep faith and let's go ahead. Hallelujah. Sunday there will be the direct with Brother Frank. We'll be here. And we can meet also. And each one can listen at home. May God help us. Amen. Let's go. Let's stand up. And we are going to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Marvelous Heavenly Father. We thank you with all our heart. Your word is precious. Send your blessing and seal what we have heard. All that we have heard, remain, let it remain in our heart. And the time is approaching, the time is coming near. But there is a reality. The reality is that you are preparing your bride. Yes. Remain with us, with all your people, here and there, with the church which you have redeemed, with who bear your name, Jesus Christ. It's true, when we have already said, there is one church, yes, bless each member of this church, particularly Deborah and the other one who are tired, those who have problems, have mercy, have mercy. Go near to them like a mother with the children. Speak to our heart. Speak to the sad spirit. You are always present. Have mercy. Glorify thy name. Come among your church. Speak. You are the one who remain with us as you have promised it Every day of our life you would be with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for our brothers and sisters. And wherever they are, where this preaching will be heard, let your blessing be with each one. Glory, thanking everything for what you do for us. Thank you for this little church, for this little assembly, and the members of this assembly, for everyone. We ask the same manifestation, the same blessings. Thank you, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia. Thank you, my God Almighty. Hallelujah.